Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy's good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Jacob Albright on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Far be it for anyone to take tips from me on fantasy football. I'm just saying it right up front. But Javonte Williams has got to be kind of climbing up your rung for next year after watching him last night. Star being born, Jacob?
Free Javonte. I've been saying it for 3 months. He's a stud,
Javonte,
man.
Javonte had he about 100.
Really about, good.
Yep, 29 touches for about 180 total yards. And he was the only thing that was good about the Denver offense. So
Melvin Gordon will come back and split the carries again. I mean, you know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
You know how that's going to go.
I do know how that's going to go, but then I think that they will I don't think that they'll re-sign him unless
unless
Melvin Gordon comes back at a ridiculously reduced rate, which why should he? He's still a very effective running back. But you can do what you need to do with Javonte Williams and Mike Boone behind him. I think so.
Yeah,
he was. Yeah. But Javonte Williams is a star in the making. God, it's just so good.
Yeah, he's a difference
yards
maker.
After.
I mean, he's a dynamic player. He's been. I think he's been the best in football. Maybe whatever. He's near the top of yards after contact all year.
Right.
That's what kind of player he was. That's what people thought about him coming in too. In the fantasy football weeds, I got him in a keeper league in like the fifth round. I was really running my mouth about that pick in the draft. So I needed that to look a little better, feel a little better about it now.
Good.
But I talked way too much trash for that not to have worked out. So we're in good shape.
All right. But the Chiefs at 8-4 on schedule. And this may be a different looking Kansas City Chiefs team, but here they are 8-4, and that 3-4 start seems a long way in their rearview mirror. And they're very good defensively. And you know something? If there's some questions offensively with the type of defense they're playing right now, I'm good with it. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I am too.
We'll live with it.
I am too. Yeah. I don't. And it's going to be. You know, it's going to be shame on us if the defense never cures itself. The offense. I guess I keep thinking it will, right? It just will at some point. It will be better and it will be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to think that, but that was not an offense in sync last night. Now, you give some credit where it's due. I mean, Denver's trying, obviously. And that's a pretty good defense that they're playing against. So, I mean, you got to work. You got to work for your money. But that was not a particularly productive. That wasn't a productive offense last night for Kansas City. But it was a win. And so, you take it and you move forward because God knows that's how you got to roll in this league. Not as many surprises around the league in Week 13 as we've had. Certainly throughout the course of the season, the Lions getting their first win, I thought was good entertainment. And yes, the Vikings wear that cloak of shame because they're the team that, and not only that, that's a tough loss for the Vikings who fall to 5-7 and really hurt their playoff chances.
Yeah. You know, it was another day in the NFL, you know, I don't know what to think about Minnesota. I will say, and I didn't know this going in, but I red zone flipped over to that game quite a bit, obviously. They were without a bunch of defenders. Minnesota's been pretty banged up this year. Not that that's an excuse.
Well, no, but
they're
they
best,
are
they're
five
two
and
linebackers.
Seven.
Their two best linebackers were out. But I'm saying in an individual sense of, like, how can they lose that game to Detroit? Well, you know, Dalvin Cook was out. Your two best, two of your best defenders were out. But the Lions, you know, they didn't have DeAndre Swift either. So good for the Lions.
No.
What do you think about Dan
Campbell?
Yeah,
good for the Lions is right.
You think Dan Campbell will
Dolphins?
Make it
as a Dolphins are hot. The Washington football team is hot. Won four straight now, and they win a last-second situation with the Raiders. The Lions, by the way, walked off the Vikings. Rams got well yesterday. That's what playing the Jaguars will do for you. Steelers stayed in it, beating the Ravens. And the Seahawks found a way to get one against the 49ers at a time when San Francisco had been playing well. So
on a fake
there
punt.
You go in the NFL. It's such an interesting league from week to week, and we've got a good one tonight with the Patriots and the Bills. I don't know how to figure this one, Jacob, tonight. I mean, Buffalo's a three-point favorite at home. I guess that feels about right. But I don't know.
I don't know. I think which it's a home point spread, a home field spread. I don't know how to figure it either. I think in this league, back to the Chiefs, you just feel good when you get a win. The Cardinals continue to get it done.
They sure do.
I saw something yesterday. They're the only team. I don't remember if it was ever or a really long time that's like won all its road games by 10 or more points, like something crazy like that. And Chicago has injuries. That's the point of this. Like, you know, the Cardinals are 10-2 in a year where, and they've had their own issues. I mean, they've spent a lot of time without their two best offensive players. Indianapolis looks like they're a contender.
Yes,
the Chargers, the whole AFC West. Like, I don't think we're done in the AFC West with, you know, with what's going on, which is again why, you know, if you're the Chiefs, you're just like, okay, we survived. All right, great. Because, I mean, home field is in play for them, especially now seeing what the Ravens are doing and who knows what's going to happen tonight. And, you know, I don't know how to figure it except I can't believe the Chiefs are in this position. What a weird and wild year. I mean, who do you, like, to me, in the NFL, this is why I love this league, and I don't remember this ever, I mean, I'm sure it has, but can you remember a year where there was just absolutely nothing close to a favorite going into week, what are we going into next week? Week 14? We don't have a favorite in either conference.
I mean, unless you give the Cardinals the benefit of the doubt. I mean, they Colt McCoy'd for 3 weeks and are 10-2.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not saying they're not the best team in the NFC. Maybe they are. But I don't think they're a clear-cut favorite.
No. I don't think you look at them and say, yeah, back up the truck. I mean, they're coming through. No, I'm with you.
That we've looked at the Chiefs in the last couple of years out of the AFC, where it was like they're so clearly the favorite, right? I'm not saying this year. I'm saying the last two before. Like, they were so clearly the favorite in the AFC. Like, it wasn't even close. And we've seen that in years out of either conference, right? I don't think either conference has that team that is so clearly cut a favorite. Because when we talk about the Cardinals, are you so quick to write off the Bucks, the Rams, the Packers?
No.
Right?
No.
Even to some degree, the Cowboys, if you know they were to be healthy at the right time. No way. And the AFC is an even bigger mess with even more teams in the mix.
Chiefs. At 8-4 right now, give me a good over-under to stop with in terms of wins. You've got Vegas at home. You've got Chargers on the road, Pittsburgh at home, Cincinnati and Denver on the road to finish the season. So you've got five left. You're playing three times against the division. Is that right, three times? Yeah, one, two, three times against the division. Is it 11?
I think they'll win four of those five.
You think they'll win four of those five games?
Yeah. I do.
All right.
I think that they're reestablishing themselves a little bit, just with the way they play defense. And again, I'm just banking on something we haven't seen in a while, and that's the offense playing really well. I'm banking on the offense, you know, continuing to get better. If you know what, if they keep dropping passes the rest of the year, that'll be egg on my face. Because here's what I have seen. Again, I said this in the last hour, and it's just to my eyes. Like, I'm not a scout. I'm not watching the all 22s, right? I do feel like Mahomes is getting more comfortable in that pocket with this new line. Just feels like he's more comfortable. Is it translating to points or no? But he doesn't look like he's, you know, bailing quickly as much or anything like that anymore. I think that they are developing the ability to utilize the two backs now as pass catching options. And that also, I think, will help this offense be more efficient. The way that they're playing defense, the Chiefs could become, in their own odd way, like a ball control offense. They're not going to line up and run it like that, but they can take the short and intermediate stuff like a Patriots team. We've seen Patriots teams do this. You know, think back to some of those Brady years where they were very tight end and running back centric. You know, move the chain, control the ball, don't turn it over. That's funny to say about the Chiefs this year, but it can get better. And just be comfortable while their defense plays at a high level. I think that that's probably what's coming. I don't think they have that second option in the pass game to allow Tyreek Hill to stretch the field. And I don't think they're going to find it. So let's everybody evolve and let's everybody, you know, change the way that they're playing offense. And I think that they can continue to do that. I don't think the Broncos are bad defensively. I think that had
something
pretty
good
to
defensively.
Do with it.
Yeah.
I think that had something to do with it yesterday.
Yeah.
But they were coming out of a bye and you know, they were still a little stale, which is somewhat concerning. But I'm willing to bet on, you know, I'm willing to bet on Mahomes and Reed and Bieniemy and, you know, Hill and Kelsey and those guys to be better. And so yeah, I think they should win four out of the next five.
Yeah, you look back to the Tennessee game. Point totals, 3, 20, 13. The outlier was Vegas, where they were fantastic. Mahomes threw 5 touchdown passes, scored 41. 19 against Dallas, and then 22, actually not 22, actually 16 points
whatever,
produced by the offense last night. So it's either a trend, and this is who they are, or they have a ceiling that allows them to get better. I don't know. It doesn't. It's a moot point because in those 6 games, they're 5-1. So I don't really care what you're doing. And you've beaten Green Bay and Dallas in those games. So
I'm looking the other way. I'm looking at 13 allowed against Washington, 17
right.
against the Giants, 7 against the Packers, 14 against
the
Raiders, 9 against the Cowboys, 9 again. That's what I'm looking at.
That's how
they're
doing it.
The strength of this team is right now. So, you know, Vegas at LA, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, at Denver. They will be favored in all 5 of those games.
Mm-hmm.
All 5. They'll be favored in every single one of them. So, you know, I do think winning 4 out of those 5 is a reasonable expectation right now. And if they do it, is 12-5 going to be enough? It'll be enough to win the division, which is obviously priority 1, right? Is it enough to get a bye and or home field? Because that feels pretty important to me this year. Even though road teams have been good in the NFL this year, I get it. I think home field feels pretty important this year. I don't know that there are teams that are built to just go impose their will, road or home, in the postseason. And what's interesting about the Chiefs this year also is when we think about playoff football, all right, let's just assume weather's bad and all these things. The Colts are going to likely be a road team.
Yes.
At some point in the postseason. So if that's the case and they're outdoor, that's an outdoor. Man, they are built to go outdoor, right? I mean, the Colts are almost better if they don't play at home in the dome. So that's you know, that team that you kind of have an eye on, like, man, that, you know, the Colts could be sneaky good in the postseason. Patriots clearly built for cold weather. Bills probably could be okay in cold weather because Josh Allen can run, right? The Chargers, they probably like some sunshine. The Bengals, probably fine in cold weather. The Chiefs are absolutely built for cold weather this year.
No question.
You're going to go short to intermediate and play good defense? That's cold weather football. So get it at home. Get it in Kansas City where you know the weather could play to your advantage. You know you might bring in a more high-flying team to have to deal with the elements.
And to your point, 12 could get you home field advantage.
Because I think so.
Look at the pond that the Chiefs are swimming in right now at 8-4. Titans are 8-4. Ravens are 8-4. Patriots are 8-4. Nobody's playing any better than the Chiefs right now. With all due respect to the Patriots, who've won 6 in a row, they're not playing necessarily any better. Chiefs have won 5 in a row. So I would say that the Colts are kind of the fly in the ointment only because of Jonathan Taylor and the way that offensive line plays downhill. That's an interesting football team that I think has the potential to be difficult. But are you taking the Patriots or the Ravens or the Titans over Kansas City when it comes to arguing about who has the best chance for home field advantage right now? I'm not. I'll take Kansas City right now. Why not?
Yeah, I will too. I will too.
I mean, I don't – it just is it's a good thing. And they're playing so well defensively right now. And you know what? I got to be honest with you. I was really glad to see Sorensen have a moment last night. The guy's been kind of beleaguered. It really beleaguered this year. And look, I mean, they're all big boys and they get paid. But man, it was nice to see him have a moment last night. Good for him.
You know that his teammates love him. And that's cool when he gets a moment like that after the way the year's gone.
No
there
question.
Are some, I will say this, there are some players on that Chiefs defense, Tyrann Mathieu, Anthony Hitchens, that pay way too much attention to what people are saying about them. I don't get the impression that Daniel Sorensen is one of them. So, you know, all that criticism, I don't know how much of it he hears, because I genuinely believe he probably doesn't care. He said as much last night. Somebody asked him, he's like, honestly, zero. Like, I don't pay attention to what you guys write. And who would, like, in the right mind? Because Tyrann Mathieu and Hitch, they look so uncomfortable when things aren't going well. It makes you wonder, like, what? Like, get off Twitter. Get in the film room. Like, who cares? But whatever. So be it. Yeah, it was good. I agree. Good to see him make a big play. That's what he does. He makes big plays.
Yeah. Well, he was in the right place at the right time, and he took it to the house and really kind of cracked open a game that was still hanging somewhat in doubt. Denver... offensively last night, let me ask you a question. Instead of 4th-and-2 at the 8, going for it, or the 12, wherever they were at the end of the first half, should they have kicked a field goal and taken 10-6 with them into halftime, the way their defense was playing? I thought that Vic Fangio probably gave Kansas City a little bit too much respect in the whole you can't settle for field goals against Kansas City argument. They had a whole half where they had handled them pretty well. Yeah.
4th-and-2's
it's hard to get it out,
pretty high percentage. 4th-and-2's pretty high percentage. I'm okay with it. I'm okay, especially, you know, considering the way Javonte Williams was moving the ball throughout the game. I'm okay with that call. It doesn't, you know, if it's egregious, if they're inside enemy territory, like otherwise, I typically, if you're 4th-and-2, probably 3 or less and going for it on the right side of the field, it almost never bothers me.
That was a 20-play drive that lasted for over 11 minutes with no points at the end of it.
Yeah.
20 plays, 11-plus minutes, 0 points. You don't see that very often.
No.
But you
that
saw
is
it last
pretty hard
night.
To do. That's pretty hard to
yes,
do.
Yes, it is. That is really hard to do. Javonte Williams, by the way, had 58 yards of offense in that drive, but it produced no points. So there you go, NFL. We can put that to bed. Let's get to the CFP. Oklahoma has a new football coach. The pride of Salina, Brent Venables, is now taking over at Oklahoma. And why he would have never come back to K-State, got a little bit of insight on that one. I've heard from a lot of my K-State friends over the weekend on why would he come back now? Why wouldn't he have ever come back to K-State? There's a couple of reasons why that is, and we'll share that as we continue here in a moment. Stay with us. Congratulate my friend Brent Venables taking over as the new head coach at the University of Oklahoma after a long and distinguished career as defensive coordinator at Clemson. It'll be interesting to see, Jacob, how he puts his staff together. Obviously, that's a defensive hire, and he's going to have to find good offensive people to make the move into the SEC for the University of Oklahoma. But this falls into the category of great things happen to great people. He was always one of my favorites, covering Kansas State for all the years that I did. He took an incredible amount of vitriol from K-Staters when he left after the 98 season to go to the University of Oklahoma, and which to me cemented the very realistic thought that he would never come back to Kansas State. And even though his name came up on numerous occasions over the years, I think the damage had been done. And this is to one of K-State's own, a guy that played there, that bled there, that sweat there, and it was just a very uncomfortable departure for him. And I think it probably soured, and I don't want to put words in his mouth because I know that his time at Kansas State was always and will always be important to him. But I think it made it difficult for that train to come back into the station. Once it left the yard, it was going to stay away, and now he's back at the University of Oklahoma. And frankly, I like the hire, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh, I do too. I do too. I think people, I don't have the inside knowledge like you do, and that's good to hear. A lot of people will ask me, and I'm like, you know, there's too much to lose when you take that first job.
Right.
You're at such a recruiting disadvantage in Manhattan. Don't throw rocks at me. It is what it is. You go outside of the state of Kansas. Most of the country couldn't tell you where Kansas State's located or know anything about Manhattan. You got to convince kids to come there, right?
Sure.
So that's the first hurdle of why taking K-State is so difficult for a guy who's literally been a top candidate for just about every job that's come up. Maybe not the LSU job most recently, but I mean he's in the mix for every job. He just didn't want to go. Clemson was paying him. He's picking his spot. Oklahoma makes all the sense in the world. And if you're wondering, like, Oklahoma, oh my gosh, how could you hire a defensive guy? Go look at Georgia, right? Yeah. Kirby Smart's a defensive guy.
Sure.
Nick Saban's a defensive guy.
Sure as heck is, right?
Bill Belichick's a defensive guy. So don't worry about that. He's got to bring in some good offensive assistants, and I'm sure that he will. It's Oklahoma. I think that he is in as good a recruiting spot as you can be. I know that Lincoln Riley's taking guys with him to USC. I get all that. But, man, you got that Texas pipeline right now. That's still a huge advantage for Oklahoma. I think it's about as good. I mean, it is almost the perfect hire for Oklahoma just based on, you know, what he's done, how everybody's wanted him. he feels like he'd be a lifer there. Like this has got to be the top of the college mountain for Brent Venables, don't you think? I mean, I don't know if the Clemson job ever came open, what his, you know, what his tie to Clemson would be. But in general terms, is there, and I thought about this too. I think there's a very real world that exists in all of this shuffling that USC clearly got better, right?
Right.
I think there's a chance Oklahoma got better. Lincoln Riley did so well, but man, he was up for every NFL job, and you just never know, right? Brent Venables is as enriched in OU football as anything. So I think he could have tremendous success there. I do. I'm pleased for him, and I'm pleased for OU. I got no love lost for OU, and now they're leaving the Big 12. I've got even less. I hate that Lincoln Riley left like that. I do. I hate that for any school and any group of kids. So the fact that they were able to sort of settle in and rebound and get to Brent Venables, which, you know, for him, again, I think this is as good an opportunity as ever was going to present itself. And he's been biding his time to take that shot. It wasn't going to be at K-State. No. We're just going to have to realize that. It wasn't. For the reasons you pointed out, which, you know, I was unaware of, and for the simple reason that why would you take that as your shot? If you fail there, there's no, like, failing sideways from K-State, right? You're not getting another shot at a big-time program if it doesn't work out at K-State. If it doesn't work out at Oklahoma, I don't think the door's closed on Brent Venables' future. Look at what happens in the SEC all the time. Those guys just sort of rotate around a little bit.
Yes, they do. Agreed.
He'll go be the defensive coordinator at Alabama for 2 years and end up at Texas. Like, that's just how it works, right? Like, that's, you know, so whatever. I think it's the right move for him, and I absolutely think it's the right move for Oklahoma.
Agreed. And so take that chip off the table now. Oklahoma has their guy moving forward. CFP, the Final Four. Hey, thank God we've got a chance for an SEC, all-SEC final. But Alabama, Cincinnati, Cotton Bowl, Michigan, Georgia in the Orange Bowl. I've got no problem with that. It all feels about right to me.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious. I knew it was. You knew it. I knew I should have picked Alabama in our picks. I knew you could see it from a mile away what was going to happen. I just didn't want it to. I just didn't want it to. But, you know, Notre Dame going to be the – you were going to get two Big Ten. I mean, there wasn't a better solution with Oklahoma State losing. Once Oklahoma State lost – I was like, okay, fine, whatever. If Alabama wins, I don't really care. Because at that, you know, it was either going to be two Big Ten teams or two big SEC teams. Maybe it was Notre Dame, but it doesn't look like it would have been. So it's fine. Cincinnati got in, which is, you know, I came into the year just wanting Cincinnati in if they went unbeaten, and they did, and they looked pretty good. And now they get Bama, right? You take your shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I might feel better about Cincinnati playing Bama than I do Cincinnati playing Georgia again. I don't know. Bama's weird. Bama could be the best team in the country, but we've seen them plenty of times not look like it this year. So if Cincinnati's going to go get one, that seems like a decent go get them, Cincinnati. Cincinnati can beat Alabama. Do we have an early line on that yet? I'm sure we do.
You know what? I'm checking even as we speak. So
Cincinnati can go beat Alabama. Is it likely? I don't know. I don't know if I'd call it likely. I think that's probably – I don't know that it's likely, but it's possible. We're all Cincinnati Bearcats right now. Every one of us.
Well, we'll see. I can't find a number on that game yet. So, but there should be. They should have some futures up. But Alabama will be a. I think they'll be a pretty solid favorite in that game, right?
Oh, I bet it's double digits. Yeah, I bet it's double digits. Let's see. Yeah. Alabama is a 2-score favorite.
There you go.
You got it. Yeah, 13.5. Georgia's a 7-point favorite over Michigan. Those are two really interesting lines.
Very.
So, I don't know. If it's Alabama, Georgia, and I'm sincere right now when I say this, if it's Alabama, Georgia again, I don't know that I'm going to watch it.
I'll be watching reruns. Yeah, I'll be watching reruns of Alf. I'll be out.
I've seen it before.
I don't need
to
see it.
I don't care.
No, yeah. I don't either.
And that's what I thought that they. I don't know what they hope happens. Outside of SEC country, I just really don't think people would be very interested in that. I know they're trying to, you know, rank the best four teams. I don't think Cincinnati's better. I don't think, you know, Georgia with that loss. I probably would have said, you know, but what are you going to do? Flip them and you've got the same problem. You're not going to drop Georgia to 4.
Yeah.
You're not going to move Cincinnati ahead of Georgia. So there really wasn't a good way to do it. But I just wonder if, you know, I think the best case scenario for them from a national appeal, like if you're the, you know, let's say you're ESPN, is Bama, Michigan. Cincinnati, Georgia's okay. Cincinnati, Michigan's great. That's what I'm rooting for. But the most appeal is probably Bama, Michigan. Probably. Mm-hmm.
I would say so.
Would there have been a world where you would have said Michigan should be one? I mean, that I suppose that possibility exists where Michigan goes to one and Bama and Georgia have to face off in consecutive weeks. That would have had some interest, I guess.
I think Alabama and Georgia playing consecutively was probably had as much to do with where they ended up in the final rankings as anything else. I just don't think you wanted to play that game consecutively, even with a few weeks in between.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
K-State,
by the way, a 2.5-point favorite opening against LSU. What are they playing in the Texas Bowl?
Really?
Yeah.
K-State's favorite?
How about that? K-State minus 2.
Boy, I wouldn't have seen that coming. We assume Skylar Thompson's going to be fine by then.
Well, they're assuming it, too. Let's make no doubts about that.
January 4th, if he was almost fine to play against Texas, now, you know, in a month, which is another problem. Like, how in the world are you supposed to get excited about a game that's played a month, more than a month after your last one? That is brutal. You're telling me that's better than playing a playoff? God.
Well, I'm with you. How about this one? Utah, an early 6.5-point favorite over Ohio State. I swear I'm reading these right.
I wonder why that is.
I swear I'm reading this right.
Is there rumors of Ohio State guys leaving early
guys
and not
jumping
playing?
Why would you? I don't know.
If you're in Ohio, but think about it. Like let's be perfectly honest with ourselves. If you're an NFL guy, if you know you're going to the NFL, you can't come within 2 miles of that bowl game. No chance you play in that bowl game.
If you're playing in a CFP game, I get it.
Sure.
Then it's different.
Totally.
That's different. Anything other than that, I don't care if it's a New Year's Day bowl. If I'm a guy and I'm – no. No way.
Because what – think about what you're being asked to do at this point. Think about it. Let's say you're a first-round pick, right? And Ohio State's got plenty of them. Let's say you're a first-round pick, and you have just played. You didn't play in the Big Ten championship game, so you know New Year's Day is a month after you played last. More than okay. Here's what we want you to do: we want you to stick around and not prepare for the NFL draft, not get that month of work in, not do what you need to do to get drafted. We want you to stick around here for nothing. And I mean nothing at this point. Like, there's no reason for you to be here anymore, other than you love your teammates and all of those things. But you could still participate.
Right. We get all that.
Risk injury for us, right? Isn't that when Jalen Smith got hurt? Wasn't his a bowl game before the NFL draft? And look at what happened to him.
Yes.
Look at what that did to his career. I mean, no chance do you take that. If you want these guys to play, put in a playoff. Ohio State would be in one, right? Like,
yes, they would. Sure.
And don't even come to me with that crap. Lincoln Riley left before his team played their final game. Brian Kelly, Mario Cristobal's doing it right now, going to Miami. Brent Venables, like all these dudes left before their team's final game. So don't even bring the season's not over to me. Why? What is the point of this?
No.
And at the same time, I'm excited about K-State and guys like Skylar Thompson who get to go play another one. Those things can all coexist. I think they can all, you know, I think they can exist together. But it's why I don't, you know, get super hyped about bowl games. Because, if I was a coach, I'd feel bad for asking those guys. The NFL guys, I mean.
Just the NFL guys, right. 42 bowl games, 84 programs in FBS out of the 130 that play are playing in a postseason game. We'll get into some of the matchups here as the weeks progress.
Yeah, we got a month to think about it.
Yeah, we've got time to let the dust settle around it. But yeah, Alabama, a 2-score favorite to open against Cincinnati, 13.5 on the morning line, and that's I don't think that's out of the realm. I think I'd take Cincinnati right now with that number. We'll have to see. Speaking of numbers, State Farm picks. Can we say this real quietly? Currently with the Pats and Buffalo left, Hurdle at -5, Albrock at -5, Savage leading at -3, and Benway -5. Savage and Benway have the Patriots tonight. You and I have the Bills. Nobody's going to do it. Well, Savage has got a chance. If the Patriots win, he goes 5-3 and wins the week. So, see how that all plays out. Yikes. All right. On this day in sports history, Superior Ents has got it next. Sports Daily on the sports station, KFH. Chad Chambers producing. Don't forget, download the Odyssey app today and take KFH Radio with you everywhere. AUDACY Odyssey. Download the Odyssey app today. We're back in a moment. Let's get to OTD, shall we? It happened on this day, December 6th. By the way, the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor tomorrow. Not that that has anything with what happened on this day in sports, December 6th, but always good to mark those incredible events in the passage of time. So on this day in December 6th, in the world of sports, the great Ernie Davis of Syracuse becomes the first African-American to win the Heisman Trophy on this day in 1961. The great Ernie Davis. And in 2003, in all the years that I covered Kansas State, and that was about 23, 24 years on a game-to-game kind of basis, the most satisfying game to cover for me probably in that entire history. In 2003, Kansas State beats number one and unbeaten Oklahoma at Arrowhead Stadium in the Big 12 Championship, 35-7, in a game that Darren Sproles...
I remember so much about that. I didn't know anything about K-State, by the way. I mean, you're talking about a kid from Texas, but I remember watching that game. I was stunned like everybody else.
Darren Sproles was otherworldly in that game. L. Roberson. K-State played about as well as you can possibly play. Oklahoma ended up going into the BCS championship, I think. I can't remember. Was it LSU? I can't remember. But regardless, it happened on this day in 2003. K-State winning the Big 12 championship over Oklahoma 35-7. Not necessarily OTD, but things of note that we would be remiss if we didn't mention them today. The passing of Bob Dole. I mean, I love me some Bob Dole, man, and was sorry to hear about the loss of Bob Dole. He lived a long, fruitful, and very interesting life. Buck O'Neill into the Hall of Fame. We need to get into that a little bit this week with the proper personnel. We'll work on that. And I'll leave you with this one, Jacob. I saw this somewhere over the weekend. These couple of days are the first few days in 31 years that there is no construction on Kellogg. No construction.
I love that. Me too.
Especially after living through most of those 31 years with construction on Kellogg. I don't get the fruits of that anymore, but you know what? You all do, and congratulations. So there you go, a little OTD, courtesy of our friends from Superior Rents, your equipment rental headquarters. Tools that work at Superior Rents, 21st and Ridge. Get you set for the rest of the day when we continue. Hand it off to Jim Rome coming up next.